Please turn in your Bibles to the Bible reading this morning, Acts chapter 10, verses 37 to 41. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. This is God's word.
Anthony Fernando was a 21-year-old man living in Colombo, Sri Lanka, went fishing one day off the coast of the island. He had no idea he would never make it back alive. A fork-tailed garfish jumped out of the water and cut him on his neck with its tail. He bled to death before a fellow fisherman could get him to a hospital. Lance Foster, 23-year-old student from the University of Kansas, was studying at his desk one night. Little did he know he would be dead a few minutes later. Foster became thirsty and decided to walk down the hallway to get something to drink. He put his money in the machine, but the drink didn't come. When he rocked the vending machine back and forth to get the can of drink, it fell on top of him. He died from injury shortly after. If you would have told Eli Ashkar, that he would be shot to death by a snake, he wouldn't have believed it, but it happened. Although he could have shot the snake, this man from Iran was trying to capture it alive. When he pressed the butt of his shotgun on its neck, the snake coiled itself around the gun. With its tail thrashing, the snake pulled the trigger, firing one of the barrels and shooting Ahani in the head. Now, I know you're sitting here thinking, what on earth is going on here? Why are you talking about all these deaths? Well, the reality is that all of you are going to die. You are. And resurrection without death makes no sense, doesn't it? I mean, you've got to die to be raised. And the fact is that death is one of those things that, for most people, they are tremendously afraid of. They fear death. Now, for the unbeliever, there's an incredible uncertainty around death, isn't there? Because for whatever they believe and whatever they may say, when it actually comes to the point at which they will die, they are uncertain because they don't know what lies beyond death. And all the bravado they may have in this world would disappear at that moment. Then what? Is there something beyond? And if there is a God, will he let me into heaven because I've been a good person? Is there just nothing? Does it just all end with death? There's this great uncertainty. For the believer, we have certainty. We know what's going to happen when you die. Well, I hope you know. But there is an uncertainty regarding how we will die. And so there is a sense in which some of us fear the how of death. Not death itself, but how? Will it be through Alzheimer's? Will it be through a stroke? Will it be through a heart attack? Will it be through an accident? We don't know. Thank goodness. Imagine if God mapped it out and said, here it is. But the reality is that you and I are going to die. It is the consequence of the wages of sin, which is death. But what makes death something that we don't have to fear, but in fact can embrace, is the reality of the resurrection. because the power of death has been shattered by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that all who are in Christ can stare death in the face and laugh at it. And you in fact can say, bring it on. Because if that's the best the devil can do, then he has zero power over the believer. And there is nothing that you and I should fear concerning our future death. We should live with security and confidence and faith and trust and joy, because we know where we're going. And we know that Jesus Christ is alive. And so resurrection is one of those doctrines that I think brings great encouragement. And it is incredibly significant for us as believers, because Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians in chapter 15, in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 15, he says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is in vain. Then we may as well go home. And he makes the point that Christ is raised. Christ is alive. And therefore the faith that they have is not in vain. And so this morning I want us to spend a little bit of time focusing on the significance of the resurrection. Why is it so significant? I'm going to give you a number of reasons. Number one, it delivers believers from sin. Christ bore our sins. If Christ was not raised from the dead, you and I would still be in our sins. It is only because of the resurrection of Christ that we are freed from sin. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. It is only because the chains which shackled us to sin and to Satan have been broken by Christ that you and I are able to share in that victory. Had Christ not been raised from the dead, we would be lost in our sin and we would be without hope. But he has been raised from the dead. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Because what does Christ do on the cross? He conquers sin. But in order for that conquest to have meaning, it requires Jesus to beat the grave. It requires Jesus to be raised from the dead. And thus Paul is able to declare in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why do you stand not condemned this morning? Because Jesus has taken care of your sins. He's eradicated them. He's paid the price. He's paid the penalty. And his resurrection is God's stamp of approval. And thus, you and I are united to Christ. And no longer are we bound by sin. No longer are we slaves to sin. No longer is sin the dominant force in our lives, because we've been freed from sin. We've been unshackled from sin. We've been delivered from sin. Satan no longer has power over us. His power has been smashed. And thus, you and I are able to live in the freedom of the Spirit. Now, instead of being driven by sin, We are driven by righteousness. We are driven by purity. We are driven by Christ. Because sin no longer has a hold over us. Because Jesus rose from the dead. Second, Jesus' resurrection conquered death. His resurrection conquered death. Had Christ remained in the grave, then you and I would be totally without hope. And Jesus' resurrection from the grave is the proof that God accepted his sacrifice on the cross. And thus, if his sacrifice has been accepted and he has conquered death, you and I will participate in also that conquering of death. Now, what makes Jesus' resurrection different in conquering death is that he doesn't die again. If Jesus' death had been insufficient to conquer death, then he would have never been raised from that grave. But in the same way, therefore, that Jesus Christ has had victory over death, what are we told, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, that we participate in the victory of Jesus Christ? Jesus' victory, in other words, is your victory if you are a believer. It's the same as we have sporting teams that represent us. And when they win, what do? We shout, "We won, we won, we won." But in a sense, you didn't win. The sporting team won. But they represent us. And we participate in that victory. In the same way, we participate in the victory of Jesus Christ. For he won. And he conquered death. What makes Jesus' resurrection so unique is that it is eternal. Now you can imagine what it would have been like to have been Lazarus. You die. Jesus comes 3 days later and he says, Lazarus, come forth or come out. Lazarus is raised from the dead only to die again. But for Jesus, he never dies again. He brings eternal resurrection. In other words, for you and I, what that means is that when you die and when you are raised from the dead, you will never, ever die again. And that's something to celebrate. The last enemy, says Jesus, or the last enemy is death. But if death has been conquered, Paul is able to write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 following, and he is able to say, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." So you don't need to fear death. You don't need to fear what lies ahead. And it doesn't matter how you die, whether it's COVID, God forbid, whether it's through a stroke, whether it's through cancer, it doesn't matter. For death has no claim on you if you are a Christian. For Christ has been raised from the dead. And that leads to the third reason of the resurrection. It gives us eternal life. Let me read some scriptures. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." John 14:19. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Romans 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, we too may have new life. The thief comes in to destroy, to steal. But I have come that you might have life, and life to the full, says Jesus. What guarantees that eternal life? What guarantees it is Jesus' resurrection. For if he had stayed in the grave, you and I would suffer the same fate that he suffered. So we have eternal life. We don't have to fear death, which leads to the fourth reason. Jesus' resurrection secures the resurrection of every single believer. Because Jesus is raised, those who believe in him will participate in resurrection, so that when we are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, when the trumpet shall sound and the command of God and the voice of the archangel shall resound, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are left behind will be caught up, and so we will go to be with the Lord forever. Our resurrection is guaranteed. Death will not hold you in the grave. You will come to life again. And all those loved ones who have departed before you will be raised from the dead. Death does not have the last say in the believer's life. It doesn't. Resurrection has the last say. Listen to Paul as he writes to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15 is a glorious chapter. If you ever get depressed, read it. Verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Listen carefully. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Those who have died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of a dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, now who gets raised? So in Christ, those in Christ, all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. Because Jesus is raised, you will be raised. Which leads on to the fifth reason for the significance of the resurrection. And that is, Jesus secures for all who trust in him a brand new spiritual body. Now, for those of you who are young here this morning, your body is not breaking down yet. Your body may be fine, but as you get older, speak to anyone with gray hair, like me. Speak to anyone who has got a few wrinkles, like Kathy. Speak to anyone who has got past the age of 30. And they will tell you the body begins to break down, doesn't it? We know. I've got a bad back. I've got ankles that are not what they used to be. I can't do the things that my two young sons can do. When we go to the golf course and they line up and hit a ball, I can't hit as far. and I'll break my back if I try. The reality is our bodies begin to break down. And if you live long enough, you will discover that firsthand. You will. You look in the mirror and you think, who's that looking back at me? But what Jesus says is he has prepared for everyone who loves him a brand new body. And we are told about this body. It is a spiritual body. That doesn't mean it's a body without form or substance. For the evidence of a resurrected body is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first fruit of all who follow. And 1 John 3 verse 2 says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we will receive a body like the Lord Jesus Christ, who said to his disciples, touch, feel, I've got bones, I've got flesh. Who after he was raised from the dead, cooked a barbecue for them on the beach and ate with them. So your body is going to have substance and you're going to recognize one another without your flaws, without wrinkles. No more bald heads. I can see some men rejoicing already. No more gray hair. No more bruises. No more sore backs, knees, hips. No more strokes. No more losing arms and legs. No more failing eyesight. Brand new body. Now, this is so important because it's so easy to allow ourselves, when this body begins to break down, to allow that to overwhelm us. I know I've said this before. This is your spare body. It's not your real body. It's your spare one. So when it breaks down, when the pain and the suffering comes and perhaps dementia, who knows what lies ahead. Don't allow yourself to be bound and become depressed by that. This is God's way of loosening the shackles. This is God's way of preparing us for heaven. It's God's way of causing us to say, and I've had so many people that over the years that I've gone to have been in hospital beds dying. So many say to me, I just want to go. When my mother, who was steeped in Alzheimer's, had wasted away, was skin and bones, was lying in that bed. I'll never forget, my sister came out after spending some time. I was outside the building where she was. And said to me, Ian, I think I need to take Mom and I need to take her back home to Cape Town. And I said to her, why on earth would you want to do that? You can't care for her like she's being cared for here. What makes you want to do that? And she said to me, Ian, she said to me, I want to go home. And I said to Cheryl, she wants to go home. God loosens the shackles by causing the body to break down, preparing us for eternity. Listen to what Paul says. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor because it's bound up by sin. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15:42. It's glorious. Someone worry about what age brings. You're going to get a brand new body. So if you get disabled, if you lose eyesight, if you lose hearing, if you become immobile and have to sit in a chair because you can't walk anymore, we've got people like that in this church. Cast your eyes beyond this frail, broken body to heaven and remember you're going to get a new one that will be fit for eternity. That leads to the sixth reality or reason or significance of the resurrection. It's one thing getting a new body, but it's another thing as to where that body is going to be able to express itself. And Jesus' resurrection secures a new heaven and a new earth. This earth is breaking down. This earth is fading away. This earth is decaying. This earth is on its way out. The moment sin entered into the world, what does Paul say in Romans chapter 8? That all creation groans, longing for its redemption, longing to be broken out of this pattern of decay as a result of sin. And so we are told that God is going to create a new heaven, a new home for those who love Him. And it will be a perfect world. No longer will things fade. No longer will things perish. How do I know that? Peter tells us that. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance, listen, that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Revelation 21, 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. That's not hydrological. That's there's no longer any evil. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and He will live with them. What a glorious hope that is. They will be His people and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This earth is gone. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Jesus in John 14, verses 1 to 6, what does he say to his disciples? He says, I am going to prepare a place for you. And there are many rooms. God, through Christ being raised from the dead, has a new home in store for all who love Him. And what a glorious place that's going to be. Which leads on to the next point. Jesus secures, number 7, certain hope. Certain hope. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, I've read it to you already, 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope is one thing that sometimes doesn't materialize. You know that. Sometimes we hope for things and sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't happen. But this is a living hope. This is alive. This is a hope that will be realized. And it's important for us to remember that. Because in this world, so often things go wrong. And so often we experience pain and suffering. And so often we see others around us go through difficult challenges as we do. And yet, in spite of all the difficulties we face in this world, there is a hope that God has planted into our heart. He has given us the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing His return, who makes real that hope we have and reminds us that we are going to be with God one day forever. I have been to many different funerals. I will never forget going to one of an atheist. It was someone I knew. It was their brother. And he had died suddenly. And we went into this funeral place near Macquarie. And I'll never forget the celebrant up front going through, reading through some stuff. No scripture, nothing. No hope, zero. And the tears that were being shed by his wife, by his widow, and by his brother were tears without hope. Because there was nothing. As far as they were concerned, the relationship they enjoyed with this man was now forever gone. It was the most depressing funeral I'd been to. Contrast that with a Christian funeral where we come and celebrate the fact that the person has entered into the presence of God. We do not grieve like those who are without hope, says the Apostle Paul. For our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And like Christ, we know that we will be raised from the dead. Because Jesus has been raised. And then number 8, very quickly, it guarantees Christ's return. Guarantees Christ's return. Because Jesus is raised from the dead, he will come back into this world. This time, not as a suffering servant, but as a conquering king. Now that has massive implications for the believer. It is a wonderful implication because we know at the return of Christ we are told that we will go to be with him and we will receive our new bodies at that point. And Christ will conquer all his foes and he will defeat them and we will enjoy the new home that is prepared for us. And so in the words of John at the end of Revelation chapter 22 verse 20, we echo his cry, "Come, Lord Jesus, come!" Finally, to get out of this broken world. But for the unbeliever, it's a different story. Hear what Paul writes when he writes to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us as well. When will it happen? This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in a blazing fire with his powerful angels. Or Acts 17:31. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. In other words, for the unbeliever, Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to set up his judgment throne and they will stand before Almighty God and they will answer to God and they will be consigned forever into a place of damnation, of pain, of suffering for all eternity. That's what will happen. At that point in Christ's return, there is no more chance of repentance. No more chance of turning to Christ. No more chance of laying our sin at the foot of the cross. It's gone. It's done. That's why Paul to the Thessalonians says, today, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Don't delay, don't put it off. Because if death comes knocking at your door, or Jesus Christ returns and we don't know when he's coming back, it's too late then. It's too late. Thus in chapter 17, verse 30 of Acts, Paul writes and he says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Don't delay if you don't know him, because this resurrection I've been speaking about is only for believers. If you don't know him this morning, if you don't have a relationship with him, can I encourage you? Turn from your sin now while you have time. Turn to the Savior who offers you eternal life. Turn to the Savior who has conquered sin. Turn to the Savior who has conquered death. Turn to the Savior who brings forgiveness. Turn to the Savior who accepts all who come and will turn none away who bow at the foot of the cross. Amen.